hour of the program on X's and Bros here throughout the great state of Michigan. You can get involved in the conversation, 866-838-4843. You can text us, Sports Radio 21000. Next week, for the NFL Draft, my friend Bill Simon's huge show will be at the Caucus Club on Thursday. I will be at a draft party at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort on Thursday night. But on Friday morning, we'll be broadcasting live from there and talking about what the Lions chose to do, if anything, in round one. I've seen some mock drafts where they've traded back, some where they've traded up. Who knows what's going to happen? I just wanted to get your thoughts on the new Lions look real quick. As I said just before the break, I am a throwback or a traditionalist. And it's funny because somebody said yesterday the Lions' new home uniform harkens back to the Lions' glory years. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? When are their glory years? They had a glory, maybe just a small period of time. But stop with the... There's really nothing that tells you those are glory years. They've got a black jersey that kind of is an ode to the black and blue division. No, it's not. It's a way to sell more jerseys. Now, I'm not going to lie and say I think the Lions uniforms are the best in all the NFL. I don't think that's the case at all. I do like the color scheme. I don't like the way I don't think it's a very clean look. I think it can be a very convoluted look with their jerseys. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not the fashion police. I am a traditionalist. I like the English D on the Tigers uniforms, and that's it. Are there other uniforms I like? Absolutely. I think the Yankees pinstripes is really sharp. I think the Dodgers look is great. I think the Cardinals look is really strong. I've always liked the Royals uniforms. In hockey, yeah, I wouldn't want anything done other than a red jersey or a white jersey with a winged wheel. Blackhawks uniform, yes, very cool. Toronto, absolutely. In football, I think there are certain things that are kind of sacred. I think you need to look clean. There are certain uniforms that jump out to me. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say some of it is associated with winning. Yes. So when I see the Steelers uniforms, I see the Cowboys uniforms, I see the Niners uniforms, I think they're really sharp. I like Miami's way back in the day, the Dan Marino days. I do not like what they've done with the helmet and some of the uniforms. I don't like the Patriots uniforms. I think the Lions uniforms have been fine. But adding the black into it and a blue helmet and the kind of blue that it is, I am not thrilled at all. I don't think that's a good look. I think it looks more like the Carolina Panthers than anything else. And I think fans recognize it. I'm not saying they shouldn't like it. I'm sure they like it. Some fans do, some fans don't. I just think they recognize what this is. And this is a way of selling more merchandise. Somebody had texted in and said it looks a little bit more like a USFL team or a UFL team. Borderline XFL. Players are going to be excited about it. What else are they going to say? I don't know how much it matters. Have you seen the throwbacks of what the Steelers and the Bears have worn from way, way, way back in the day, or the Packers? You think those guys like wearing those uniforms? I doubt it. With those socks? I seriously doubt that. But they go out and they play. So I'm not sure how much that truly matters. Are you a traditionalist, or are you somebody who feels like you're a little bit more progressive and likes to use those new uniforms. Would you buy a jersey? If you had your choice of the white jersey, the blue jersey, or the black jersey, which one are you buying? I'd probably be buying the blue one. I would not be buying the black one. I can tell you that. Our phone number is 866-838-4843. Our text line is Sports Radio to 21,000. We're with you Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. And we're on throughout the great state of Michigan. Love being on in the various markets. Grand Rapids, WMAX, 96.1. In Cadillac on WKAD, The Ticket, 93.7. Sports Extra, 1330 in WTRX in Flint. In Grayling and Gaylord, WGRY, 101.1 FM, Up North Sports Radio. Got to get up there and play some golf. In Midland, Saginaw, and Bay City on WLUN 100.9 FM. Our friends are in Petoskey and Charlevoix on WMBN 104.7 FM and in Traverse City. WKAD 93.7 FM, The Ticket. Anybody who comes new to the state of Michigan, I tell people, go up north. Go to some of those beautiful cities that I just mentioned. You'll lose yourself, and it's great. Let's go to our phone lines on 866-838-4843. Ben, who's up next?
Yeah, we got Freddie about the new uniforms.
All right, Freddie.
Good morning, Shep. I can't say how long today, but I already texted you about say, hey, you know, I like the clean look, but I'm not a fan of the black ones, and I honestly don't get it. But you know, to your point that it's I don't think fans really understand. It really is about selling jerseys and selling merchandise to prove our points, your point, my point. What happened to the helmets from last year? What happened to the new logo? Not even a whisper of those yesterday, right? And everyone that comes into my restaurant or I go around anywhere I go, they have that new logo, right? The Mustang logo with the two stripes.
Yeah.
So
right.
What happened to that? That was all about making money and selling jerseys, selling logos. That's all it was about.
Yeah,
and,
that's it.
I hope they don't wear those new blue helmets. I am not a fan of those. Oh. But the other two, I can live with. It's a clean look, you know?
Yeah.
So
okay. No, good. I appreciate the perspective.
Yep. See you, buddy.
All right, pal. Thanks. I appreciate the opinion. Rod Wood said this. The new uniforms are honoring our traditional color with a little updating and twist. It's not a little. It's a lot. When you add another color, that's not a little. That's drastic. He says it gives us a lot more options, too. Options for what? Now you need to have options as a player to wear a uniform? The home uniform and the road uniform, not enough. Stop it. Just be honest with us. Fans see through that stuff. I don't understand why teams feel the need to do these things. It gives us a lot more options, too. My goodness. Give me a break. Baseball has two uniforms, for the most part. Okay? I mean, you can mix and match. We've seen that with, like, the White Sox, who can't figure out what their team colors are, for crying out loud. Why is it so bad to have team colors and stick to it? Maybe I'm going overboard with it. It's not like it matters on how a team's going to play. I don't like the deception of we're bringing back to the glory years, or we're giving ourselves a lot more options. We're going to introduce a couple of different pant options to go along with the jerseys as well. Oh, great. Hope you have a separate press conference for that. Excited for it. Or not. Stay with us. More coming on the other side of X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network, including the top 15 first-round values over the last 10 NFL drafts. A lion is mentioned in this, but there's also a little bit of some sarcasm involved as well. This is a sports article from a website that I'll get into when we come back after this. Stay with us.
In the Den with Dan Dickerson.
Step up to the plate at Eagle Casino and Sports, the mobile sportsbook app that you can bet on all your favorites all year round, including, of course, our national pastime. So download the app and start winning today at Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan. Must be 21 years or older and in Michigan to play.
There is so much that goes into the development of a young player. You always hear that young players have to slow the game down. But A.J. Hinch looks at it a little bit differently. He's not sure the game ever really slows down at the major league level as much as the focus changes to the belief that you belong here. Hinch says it's not about the game speeding up. It's about the failure rate going up. Whether you're a pitcher or a hitter, you've always been the best player on your team. Then you get to the major leagues and you look around, everybody's as good as you are or better. Whether it's Parker Meadows or Colt Keith or the next player like a Jace Young who comes up, A.J. Hinch says you have to be patient. Let them settle in before you make a judgment. And players begin to settle in when they start to believe.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Here on a Friday. Good to have you on board. Across the great state of Michigan on X's and Bros. We're with you Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. Join us via the text, Sports Radio to 21,000. Join us on our phone lines, 866-838-4843. Next week, we'll be at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resorts for the NFL Draft. Going to be a lot of fun there while our friend Bill Simonson, the Huge Show, he's in Detroit at the Caucus Club on Thursday. Tigers a loser yesterday to Texas. That means the Rangers have won 3 out of 4 in the series. Kenta Maeda roughed up yet again. Detroit scores 7 runs but commits 3 more errors. So that's 2 straight games in which they've committed 3 errors. They are in Minnesota for a weekend series against the Twins starting, weather permitting, tonight. And Jack Flaherty gets the call for Detroit. Do you guys know who the NBA is set for their playoffs now that the play-in game tournament is over? And not the tournament that's in season, but the play-in games. And the NHL regular season is over, so their playoff seedings are set. I don't know if you know this, but Philadelphia had to come from behind, get about 20 points off the bench from Cameron Payne the other night against Miami. Was it Cameron Payne? I'm trying to think of who it was. No, it was Nicholas Batum. I'm sorry. Nicholas Batum scored, I think he scored like 20 points off the bench the other night in the 1-point win over Miami. That sets up Philadelphia and New York because New York's the number 2 seed. They won 50 games. They leapfrogged Milwaukee, who seemed to be, you know, going right down the toilet down at the end of the season. Although ever since Doc Rivers took over, they really don't look like the same team anyway. Bottom line is, Paul Reed, you know who Paul Reed is? I mean, he's listed kind of as a backup center. He's really more of a forward. He's a former second-round pick a few years ago out of DePaul. Guy averages about 7 points a game for Philly. He was on a, I don't know if it was a radio show or a podcast. I think it was a podcast. Anyway, he said, this is a quote now. We ain't ducking no smoke. Don't know what the hell that means. We ain't ducking no smoke, but yeah, we wanted the Knicks matchup, of course. That's the easier team. First of all, it's not like it's Joel Embiid or Tyrese Maxey or Tobias Harris or even Buddy Hield. It's Paul Flippin' Reed making these comments. A guy who plays 19 minutes a game is making these comments. Yeah, we want the Knicks. You barely beat the Heat. And now you're going to actually go out there and say, the Knicks are the easier team? Look, I'm all for bravado. I am all for believing in oneself and believing in your teammates. No athlete is going into a game or a tournament or anything like that thinking, I'm going to lose. I suppose there are a few boxers who stepped in the ring against Mike Tyson in his day that thought, I got no shot at beating this guy. All I want to do is hang on. It could be. I'm sure that was possible, especially the way he dominated. I'm sure there was a time, a stretch during a 10-year span, where golfers lined up and they said, we're playing for second place because Tiger Woods is in this tournament. Or maybe on a Sunday, they might be thinking that. I would hope not. It's the reason that they get to this level is because they are so confident in their ability. But if it crept in a little bit, I could understand it. It's Paul Reed. You follow basketball. I doubt you know who he is. He comes into the locker room. You think Joel Embiid goes up to him and goes, hey, bro, I know you're out there. You're trying to make a name for yourself. Remember, there's a whole team who's got to play the Knicks. Let's just be – whatever happened to humility and humbleness? It's okay to be confident. I love it. You're supposed to be. There's a little bit of an edge there. But saying the Knicks are the easier team, and obviously he's referring to Boston, because Boston was, what, 13 games clear? Something like that? First of all, I don't know why that podcast/show is having Paul Reed on. They must have. Usually you get three requests, you know. Who are you requesting for your show? Well, I want Joel Embiid. Yeah, he's not going to do it. Tyrese Maxey. Nah, I'm sorry, he's busy. Tobias Harris. Nope, he's doing a different show. I don't want to stretch him too thin. Buddy Hield. Nope, can't do it. How about Kelly Oubre? I don't think so. How about DeAnthony Melton? No, that's not going to happen. Kyle Lowry, he's hurt. Cameron Payne, he's hurt. Who else you got? How about Paul Reed? Who? Paul Reed. Who? Paul Reed. Okay. And then he says that. Ugh, very strange. They wanted the Knicks. They got the Knicks. Here we go. Let's see what happens. I'd be careful. Because Jalen Brunson has been a first-team All-NBA-er for sure. For sure. And remember, Philly needed a late comeback in the fourth to beat Miami, who was playing with Jimmy Butler basically on a leg. So, Paul Reed might be singing a different tune. Careful what you wish for. We'll see what happens. Maybe he's trying to create some motivation for his guys. I don't know. I read this article on CBS Sports the other day. I wanted to get to it for the last couple of days. We just haven't had time. So I wanted to talk about it. They listed the top 15 first-round values over the last 10 years. So in other words, the stars that outperformed the position in which they were drafted. I'll give you a good example. Not that he's on this top 15 list, but Brandon Ayuk. He was number 25 overall by San Francisco. He's done a pretty good job. Okay. Jordan Love was drafted 26th overall by Green Bay. It might be too early to tell, but that's a pretty good job. Here they are. Josh Allen listed at number 15. He was drafted 7th overall by Buffalo. DJ Moore in 2018, drafted 24th overall by Carolina. Micah Parsons, drafted 12th overall. That's hard to believe. By Dallas. Marcus Peters, drafted 18th overall by Kansas City in 2015. Number 11 is what I want to talk about because it involves the Lions. It's the 2018 draft, it's the 20th overall pick, and it's Frank Ragnow. Not that he doesn't deserve to be on this list, because he does. My issue is with the first sentence written after it. Here's what it says. Fans might roll their eyes when a team spends a first-round pick on interior linemen. Why? Here's a guy who handles the football on every play. We think the quarterback handles the football on every play. I'd say probably 98% of the time they do, but you've got jet motion a lot of times. Sometimes the center is snapping it to the guy coming in jet motion. Sometimes it's wildcat. Sometimes the quarterback's not always handling the football on every single play. But the center is. He's also in charge of the line calls. He's also in charge of run blocking and pass blocking. It's a pretty important position. Why would anybody roll their eyes? It's not like he was drafted first overall. He was drafted 20th. We undervalue the position because the only time it gets mentioned is when something goes wrong or when they commit a penalty. Phone number is 866-838-4843. 866-838-4843. You could text us, Sports Radio to 21,000. We get your thoughts and more when we come back on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan.
Huge here with a reminder that on Thursday, April 25th, I'll be in Detroit for the NFL Draft. I'll be broadcasting live 3 until 6 from the world-famous Caucus Club as they prepare for the private NFL VIP party with Bull Rush Sports Management and certified NFL PA agent David Gregory. We'll be joined by Josh Garvey and his team from Dorn Mayhew. Matt Golden, the CEO at the Tullymore Golf Resort, will check in, and also our friends from Copper Craft Distillery. Be listening for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to get in to this private NFL draft night bash at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit, less than a half mile from the NFL draft stage. It's being presented by the Michigan Sports Network and David Gregory and Bull Rush Sports Management. Be listening to the Huge Show for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to the Huge NFL Draft Watch Party Thursday, April 25th in Detroit.
Get ready to win big every Friday in April during Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort's 43rd gaming anniversary. Every hour from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., two winners will receive $500 in premium play. Then at 10 p.m., one lucky winner will walk away with $4,300 cash. The celebration doesn't stop there. On April 26th at 10 p.m., one lucky player will take home the grand prize of $43,000 cash. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Your getaway reimagined. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
All right, back with you, Shep, in the morning on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan, 866-838-4843. Welcome your phone calls and these text line. Just text Sports Radio to 21,000. Love to hear you get involved in that. We were talking just before the break about the article from CBS Sports. The top 15 players of the last 10 years in terms of those players who were, the value of the picks. Number one is Lamar Jackson. And I brought up number 11 on the list, which was Frank Ragnow for the Lions, because he was drafted 20th overall. But I was a little bit more bothered by the fact that what they wrote is fans might roll their eyes when a team spends a first-round pick on an interior lineman, which to me is ridiculous. I mean, if you're a starter and you're being drafted 20th overall and you're in the interior and you're playing as often as Frank Ragnow has, hurt or healthy, and you're as vital to the team's success as he is, what difference does it make? It's funny how you've got other wide receivers on here like Mike Evans and CeeDee Lamb. And that's fine because, but the, Frank Ragnow, you could make the argument, is just as important, if not more, because CeeDee Lamb is getting how many catches when he's not playing the Lions? How many catches a game is he getting? Let's say he gets 10, which is a great day, by the way. But if you're getting 8 to 10, that's pretty damn good. Out of how many plays? 56? Frank Ragnow's touching the ball and being an integral part of the success of every one of those offensive plays. Zach Martin is on this list. He's an interior offensive lineman. TJ Watt, Justin Jefferson, Lamar Jackson. Oh, I said he's number one. Actually, number one is Patrick Mahomes, excuse me. Because Patrick Mahomes is taking 10th overall. Aaron Donald is two. I would go the other way around. I'd say Aaron Donald would be one. I think Aaron Donald was better at his position than Patrick Mahomes is at his. That's not a knock on Patrick Mahomes because I think he's fantastic. He's the best quarterback in the league. I think Aaron Donald is arguably, I'm not saying he is, but he's arguably the best defensive lineman the NFL has ever had. Yes, Reggie White, I get it. Some of you may say Randy White. Bruce Smith on the edge. I get what you're saying. Right. Aaron Donald can play outside or inside, and he's a dominant force. But what was interesting about this list, too, is that T.J. Watt is on there as number five. T.J. Watt was drafted 30th in 2017. 30th. How in the hell did so many teams miss on T.J. Watt? I'm going to read you some of the names who were drafted ahead of him. Some are justified. Myles Garrett. Mitch Trubisky. Another example of drafting for need. There's no way the Chicago Bears could have thought, we're going to trade up because we have him as number two on our board. And if so, those scouts should be fired, and probably were. Solomon Thomas. Leonard Fournette. Corey Davis, Western Michigan. Jamal Adams. Mike Williams, Chargers, not Lions, obviously. Christian McCaffrey. How many of those players, that's the top eight. How many of those? John Ross, a wide receiver out of, I think it was Stanford. No, Washington, number eight. He wore number eight of Washington. Then Patrick Mahomes. John Ross was taken ahead of Patrick Mahomes. This was the drafts. Not just football, an inexact science. Marshawn Lattimore. Right now, you got probably three players that are justified ahead of T.J. Watt. Deshaun Watson, Hassan Reddick, who I really liked out of Temple, Derek Barnett, Malik Hooker, Marlon Humphrey, Jonathan Allen, Adoree Jackson, O.J. Howard, Garrett Bowles, he's the starting tackle for Denver, Boise State. Lions took Jared Davis. Evan Engram. Garyon Conley, no idea. Jabril Peppers. Takaris McKinstry. Tre'Davious White. Taco Charlton. David Njoku, then T.J. Watt. And by the way, the guy taken two picks later, Ryan Ramchuk out of Wisconsin, really flipping good as a tackle. 101 starts, steady guy. He's a right tackle, not a left, but still. Inexact science. To the text line, Sports Radio to 21,000. Ben, what else we got?
Yeah, these are back to the Lions' new uniforms.
Okay.
Says they dropped the ball a bit. Should have been a black helmet with a blue lion and black pants would have made it. Made it great, close, but not good enough. Trashman Niles and Sparta.
Black helmet, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Would you have wanted that?
I don't think so.
Can't say that I would either. Not saying it's wrong, just can't say that I would either. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Outside of Baltimore and Pittsburgh, Atlanta, who has black helmets? I think those are the only three. Don't say the Raiders. The Raiders are silver. I think it's just three. Bears are blue. It's a dark blue. It's Pittsburgh. It's Baltimore. Right? For sure. Those two. And it's Atlanta. And Atlanta sometimes goes red. Way back in the day. Used to love those red helmets. Steve Bartkowski with the red Atlanta Falcons helmets. That's an interesting concept. I'll go back to their colors are Honolulu blue and silver. I think a team, when those are your colors, those should be the predominant colors. I didn't like the black accents either. I just wanted the two colors. Maybe I'm wrong there. Here's what else I wonder. Outside of the color white, how many teams are just two colors? Or how many teams have more than two? Let's put it that way. Like the Colts, for example, they're only blue and white. Jacksonville's got a little aqua. It's got a little black. It's got a little, would you call it yellow for the Jaguar? So they're kind of three colors. The Titans are two shades of blue and a red. So they're three colors. The Houston Texans, I think, are only red and blue. That's the AFC South. I'm just thinking out loud here. All the teams. Think about how many teams have more than two colors. I think the Lions are just fine with the two that they have. Even if you look at the division, it's just Green Bay is green and gold. Minnesota is purple and gold. The Bears are blue and orange. Boom. That doesn't mean you got to follow the rule. There's no rule to it, right? I mean, just because those teams do it doesn't mean that you have to do it. I think it looks messy. I like something crisp and sharp. Doesn't mean you can't have it. You can have multiple colors, I think, in a uniform and look sharp. Chicago Blackhawks is a good example of that. Any more text, Ben?
Yeah, we got one last one. It says, Shep, you're wrong. The black ones are great. Not close to the Panthers. Totally different colors. Embrace the new.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I respect your opinion. I hope you respect mine. I get it. It doesn't make me wrong. It just makes me different than you. I'm not saying it's the same color as the Panthers. I said it reminds me of the Panthers. Panthers have the blue on top, the black pants, and then same thing with the helmet. They'll have, I guess they don't have a black helmet, do they? They have the silver helmet with a lot of black and aqua or light blue in it. It's what I think of. Right or wrong, it's what I think of. And I don't like it. Embrace the new is a good way to say it, though. I should be embracing the new or embracing change. How's that? Embracing change. I just, with uniforms, certain teams, I can't do it. And I'm not going to be able to do it with this. I couldn't do it with the Pistons either. I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago, they brought back the aqua and people were like, oh man, this is great. I was like thrown up in my mouth. I can't stand it. I think it's brutal. I think it's ugly. And it's not what the Pistons are about. And I think this says the same thing to me, about the Lions. Look, you say embrace the new. The helmet with what Freddie called, you know, the racing stripe down the middle, that's new or relatively new. I embrace that. I don't necessarily like it, but I don't hate it. And by the way, sometimes that new, And the other thing that's new is sometimes they'll go like blue on blue, which I think looks terrible. But, you know, I'm not sitting there complaining about it. Sometimes those new, or what is viewed as new by a certain team, doesn't always go well. Like, remember when the Pistons had the black alternate uniforms with the 313? But they wore them on Sundays, and it said Motor City across the front, and it had like a tire mark up the middle. Do you remember that, Ben, watching it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what people used to make fun of? It looks like you just got ran over. When they get blown out in those uniforms, it looks like you just got ran over by a car, which is pretty close to the truth back when they were wearing those. And since, quite honestly. It wasn't too long ago where something was said by Jared Goff about Detroit and the Lions writers and the negativity. And Goff was on a podcast and said this: I have this thing with our local media where, like, they almost relish in negativity at times. And people took offense to it. A lot of people in the media took offense to that. I agreed with it. I just don't think it's only Detroit. I think it's us in general. And it's not just limited to sports either. When did it change? I have a theory on that. I think a lot of it has to do with the cycle of 24-hour sports and 24-hour news. And the fact that it's not always news gatherers, but news creators. In other words, not necessarily journalists, but almost talk show hosts, all right, to bide some time. And the same thing happens in sports. You go from 24-hour sports where you're seeing a lot of highlights and you're seeing a lot of games being played and the replay of games from the night before. And that has been taken over by what? A lot of talking heads and a lot of bombastic look-at-me moments in sports television. And I think Detroit is no different. I also think in Detroit especially, and I've been fortunate in my career to be all around the country, listening to various hosts, talking with various writers, speaking with different anchors and pre- and post-game hosts and play-by-plays and so on and so forth. Not that Detroit is completely unique, but let's face it, especially with the Lions, not always used to winning. And when you're not used to winning, you see a lot of losing, you become jaded. I'm not making excuses, but there is always, instead of relishing and enjoying a victory, we're told you're wrong. You got to be looking at what's wrong with this team even when they do win. We're being told how to act all the time. And that's not fair. And it's not right. And you shouldn't take it. And athletes shouldn't either. Athlete wants to come out and say that. They have every right to it because it's their experience. Jared Goff hasn't been in Detroit his entire life. And he hasn't been in Detroit his entire professional career, especially. But it's an observation that he's made. And instead of getting offended by it, what you should do is try to, I don't know, self-reflect a little bit and recognize that, yeah, look, the job of a talk show host, the job of a reporter, the job of an editor or a columnist or an anchor, whatever, it's not supposed to make you feel good, per se. It's not supposed to give you what you want to hear. But their observations and factual information that helps you form your opinion. It's not one of those knee-jerk reactions where you're at a hockey game and the guy's patiently waiting for a lane because it's clogged to take a shot, and you got the guy behind you who's just sucked down his fourth Labatt's going, damn it, shoot the puck. Oh, and by the way, that guy can't skate and has never played hockey. That's not what it's about. But Jared Goff has observed this, and I think it's a fair observation. I said this 6 years ago, and one of the hard things about doing talk shows around football season is because you have one game a week, and then you have roughly 5 to 6 days to talk about it. And it gets borderline nauseating, where you're like, oh my gosh, people, do you not remember the week before? Or, hey, writers, why don't you remember what happened last time? You know, we have short memories at times. So for him to say, sometimes you relish in the negativity, yeah, I think some people do. You know why? Because it's really easy. And because they're used to it. It's easy from the standpoint of, hey, the Lions lost yesterday. I need an easy day off on a Monday morning. Let's open up the phone lines at 866-838-4843. And then I don't really have to do much after that. You can write about the negative all week long. Get people stirred up. And then the last point would be this. Hey, guess what? I got this many clicks today. Boss, aren't I doing a good job? Yes, you are, mister, because that's what it's about. It's about getting clicks. It's about you, though, on this show, X's and Bros, across the great state of Michigan, Monday through Friday from 6 until 9. Thank you for your texts. Thank you for your phone calls. And thanks to Ben, our producer. We're back with you Monday morning right here throughout the great state of Michigan on X's and Bros. Have a great weekend, everybody, and don't forget the huge show later on today on many of these great station affiliates from 3 to 6 on the Michigan Sports Network.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We play for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soarin' Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
The Freddy the Pizza Man Foundation is dedicated to providing support to families and Michigan schools touched by autism. We invite you to join us in supporting these families and schools by making a donation at freddythepizzaman.com. With your donation, you can help provide essential resources that can make a real impact. Visit freddythepizzaman.com to make a donation and to learn more about the foundation's mission. That's F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Coming up later today at 3 on the Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network, I'll deliver huge opinions on everything you're talking about.